Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
This is the Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. Nice to meet you.
Well, nice to meet. Where are you? Nice to meet you too. Where are you right now?
I'm in California right now, seeing some family.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Is this where you're from originally? Or
yeah, originally from Anaheim, so Southern California boy, and then just been living in Texas. But
come on, everybody else tries to move to California. You move away. Look at you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in Austin right now.
Keeping it weird in Austin.
Yeah, you've been?
Isn't that what they say? Oh, I've been a ton. Yeah, I used to go to South by Southwest all the time. I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. South by Southwest is fun. ACL, all those wild events.
So, Zach, you need to know they're calling this OG and the new guy. Did you know that?
I like it.
First and foremost, did you even hear of my season of The Bachelor? So my name is Bob Guinea. I was Bachelor season 4, Trista Renz reject, who was given his own season of the show. Disastrous season, by the way. Did you happen to see that one?
No, I haven't watched it. I haven't watched much of any of the previous Bachelor seasons, to be honest. But, you know, I did my research on you for a little bit. I did, you're the Bachelor before Jesse.
Yes. Yes.
And Jesse's a good friend of mine.
I paved the road for that man. I will tell you, so Jesse and I have a lot of mutual friends, and oddly enough, I mean, I really like him, but we've never actually hung out in person. Like we've met, I think we met a few times, like very briefly, and but I think he's doing a great job as the host of the show. I'm glad you guys are friends. It makes it easier, right, to navigate that whole thing?
Well, I was going to say, you know, you walked so he could run, so honestly, like he has to
be doing. So true. So true, buddy.
No, it was great having Jesse's support. I mean, I got to know him a little bit on The Bachelorette, you know, here and there when we're traveling. But then we really had the chance, obviously, this season because we're together a lot. And, you know, he always had, you know, pieces of advice and just always was someone to talk to constantly. And you know, he would give me full feedback and bounce ideas. And we'd do that back and forth quite a bit. But him and I are pretty similar, like with the sports background. So half the time was just talking about football.
Talk to me about your sports background. I didn't know that.
I played college football.
Where'd you play?
A smaller sport. Cal Poly, SLO. Okay.
Yeah, I know it well. Sure.
Yeah, so played there for 5 years. Was an offensive lineman. So never really got to touch the ball or do any cool things in the end zone, but still love football to death. And him and I just really talked about that a lot.
Oh, that's great, man. Yeah, I played college football too. I played at Michigan State. Nice. Much like Jesse, I was a quarterback. Unlike Jesse, I didn't play. But it's nice that one of us of the three, or I guess two of us of the three, actually were players. Now I feel really bad about myself. Let's move on. No. Let's not talk about sports anymore. All right, so let's talk about, first and foremost, you brought it up about that, you know, you had met him when you were on The Bachelorette. So you were on the season, the first season, I believe, where we had two bachelorettes, right? We had Rachel and Gabby. It was the second season? Like I said, you were on the second season where we had two bachelorettes with Rachel and Gabby. So, I mean, the first thing that goes once you're an old bachelor, your memory is the first thing that you lose. So how was that experience? And like, I mean, you chose to be in the Rachel camp, correct?
Correct. Correct.
I mean, that'd be an awkward experience, I would think. It just seems weird to me.
Well, it definitely was. Since it was still a first experience altogether, you know, first time ever being in this world, and it was, you know, unique, but it was all I knew. So I didn't know what it would look like with just one bachelorette, really. But at first it was a little interesting, didn't know how to, approach something like this. But for my case, it was real apparent very early that Rachel and I did have a connection, to where it was like, okay, it almost doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That there's this two-person dynamic. But for many, it did cause issues. So,
oh, I could imagine. Yeah. I mean, I got out of the limo with Trista. So it was all eyes on, you know, one person, and at least you knew this is the person I'm going to, you know, be trying to figure out how to get to know her and everything else. I mean, you had a little different dynamic going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, with Rachel, I mean, it was a few days in to the event, but like, or not the event, the experience. But you talking about walking out of the limo and just being like shocked and, you know, nervous with all the cameras, and you're at the mansion, and then you have two very beautiful women right in front of you.
Right.
That is terrifying. Yeah. And you're like, okay, here's my one shot, you know, at least remember my name. And I couldn't even remember my own name. I actually forgot. And totally, you know, shit the bed on that one, but
happens, right? I do that often. So, but it's my age more so. So let me ask you this, like, when you get out of the limo, do you do anything? Because I know people do stuff, right? They get out of the car, they try to do something to make themselves memorable. Did you do anything that made you memorable in that moment?
Not at all. Not at all. Actually, you know, leading up to it, I was, you know, trying to think of something creative, something fun, like, or something wild, because that's, you know, what people typically do.
Right.
And I'm someone that just, like, I think I got in my own head. I was so nervous. I saw the cameras and I just like freaked out. And I was like, you know what? I think the best way for me, you know, to give this a fair shot is just be myself and meet the women, you know, as they are, as I am, and not do any kind of, you know, gimmicks or anything like that. And, you know, through a conversation, hopefully that we'll have, you'll get to know me.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still went up there. I couldn't tell you what I actually said. It was all a blur. And I mean, it kept me around at least night one.
Right.
So
yeah, well, it kept you a lot longer than that, actually, right?
Now, yeah, quite some time after. But for you, do you remember what your limo entrance was when you were on The Bachelorette?
Yeah, you know, I was basic, man. I mean, it was actually what I did inside the mansion that sort of went next level. But we this was so early on when I was on the show that no one really had a gimmick. In fact, I was just telling the producers here tonight that the one guy that got out of the car with something special, which was actually quite nice, he had gone to Tiffany's, he had gotten this, you know, bracelet and, you know, engraved with Trista's name on it, and we all looked at him like he was just the devil. I mean, I remember thinking, this guy, like, where's his head, man? What's he doing? And it was almost, I think, probably jealousy more than anything, that he had thought of something that we didn't. But it was one of those things where, you know, and he kind of became the villain of the season, frankly, because none of us had anything else going in the front door. You know, we were all just like, hi, I'm Bob. Nice to meet you. Now, granted, once we got inside, you know, there's a lot of stories about that one. I mean, I was, you know, bringing up my study of martial arts. you know, which I did extensively. I was doing Tybo at the time with Billy Blanks. You know, it was a big deal. It was an infomercial. It's probably outdated, but it was, at the time, it was a spectacular exercise regimen. And I just thought it really made me somebody special. But it was funny. We were just a bunch of dudes hanging out, and I think that was what made our show special at the time, was the guys got along so great. And we weren't catty with one another. It was a very different environment at that time. How was it with you? Like, what was your dynamic with the guys once you're all in the house, everyone's sort of hanging out? I mean, did you guys get along, or was it immediately something, you know, a little friction going on or anything like that?
I mean, I'd say for the most part, everyone got along. Yeah. I think everyone recognizes that it's such a crazy experience going on, and you're trying to just take it in, that you almost look for friends in this.
Yeah, I think you have to. It's a lifeline.
I'm the only one that's freaking out right now.
Yeah.
And actually, very early on, established a bunch of friends. You know, one in particular was Nate, and Nate was, you know, on that past season. And there was a moment that night when we were taking, you know, the photo you do right before the rose ceremony with everyone and,
sure,
and the lead. Nate and I, as well as maybe another 20 other guys, didn't have the opportunity to speak with either of Gabby and Rachel, just because the night just took so long.
Wait, so on the first night, you didn't speak to either lady?
Nope.
So, dude, you just got your rose based on the fact that you are just jacked and a good-looking dude. Let's be honest.
Nope, I think
it has to be the case.
Bad.
It was a pity rose. You got the pity rose.
It was a pity rose, and I'm standing outside with Nate, and we just look at each other, and we're like, "Wow, we really just quarantined to just meet a bunch of dudes. We're going home."
like it's been a really fun, you know, 4 hours. Yeah, it's been a great night.
That was nice. Cool limo ride.
Oh my god, did he get a rose as well?
He did.
Okay,
he did. Yeah, he did, and so did a lot of the other guys that we all got pity roses, but everyone, you know, still in contact still, which is really cool.
Like, yeah,
it's been some time since then, and you know, got my core group of buddies, but everyone's really cool with each other.
All right, so let's skip a little level here. So you go through the whole experience. Next thing you know, they reach out. They're like, "All right, Zach, you're going to be the bachelor," right? So now you have this whole thing. That you've been through the whole rigmarole, you know. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of emotions involved in that. They come to you, they're like, "We're gonna have you be the new guy." Is it excitement that you're hit with? Is it fear? Are you fired up? Are you pissed off? I mean, what are your emotional, you know, feelings on this whole thing?
I was feeling a lot of different things. At first, it was, to be honest, confusion.
Yeah.
I was like, "Really? Like, okay, I'm honored, but also..."
Before
like,
you even get there, were you confused about the night you didn't get a rose? Like, where was that whole... what was your whole emotional thing that set you up for this?
So, with what had happened on the Bachelorette season of going home after that, like, I needed time to just be away, like, be with family,
decompress,
process what happened, and kind of just recover from that whole experience of traveling the world and you know, dating someone with other suitors around.
Right.
And then it, you know, not being us, like taking that in and then, you know, being asked weeks, maybe a little under a month, if I'd be interested in considering being the bachelor. I mean, it was like, okay, I'm getting over what, you know, being on TV, and having a broken heart, like how can I just hop right back in, was my initial thought.
Yeah.
But it was also, you know, flattery. I was like, wow, like that's really cool that they're considering me for this. Like, what a once in a lifetime opportunity. So, you know, after several conversations, I was like, I would be kicking myself if I didn't, you know, take this shot, because I know I'm ready for it. But like, this is totally different now. Like, I'm not. Yeah.
Does that, going on that experience now, when you look back at where Rachel and Gabby were, like, you know, if we cut to the end of this whole thing, it's got to give you a different feeling as far as how that whole process goes, right? I mean, you get it now. It's kind of a difficult thing to go through, right? On either side of it. It was tough on your end, I'm sure, but now that you're the bachelor guy and you're doing the same, like, my biggest fear was, oh my God, I'm going to hurt people who don't deserve to be hurt, you know? I mean, and it almost makes you feel weird saying it, because you're like, are they going to be hurt? Should they even give a shit about me? But you're in that mindset of, I don't want to hurt people, you know?
That was a big thing for me, because I know what it feels like on that end. And I think that it helps, you know, having that time there. to where, you know, being in the bachelor role, like the whole dynamic is different. Like you feel a lot of pressure constantly, and I'll, you know, tack that on with not a lot of, you know, rest, and, you know, you're going a million miles an hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, other people's feelings are at stake. Like that, like you said, it's kind of weird to assume, but sometimes you have to, because like you have to make your decisions off of everything around you. You know, first and most important is like what your heart's telling you, but second is like, how can you go about this, you know, the right way, if there is a right way.
Yeah.
And it's stressful. Like, and it, you can always second guess and always question, but like, that was the biggest part for me. It was like, it's a totally new dynamic.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy, ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How long have you been done filming so far?
I mean, we wrapped up just over 2 months ago.
I'd say. All right. So now you're watching the season unfold, right?
I am. Yeah.
Are you watching it by yourself in your room, home alone at night, or you got like a posse of people? I recommend you do it with friends, buddy, because it sucks if you do it by yourself.
No. Well, the first episode, you know, we had a cool like premiere party, had family and friends come, friends from the show, and producers, and that was a really cool experience. For future episodes, very low key.
I was gonna say by episode five, it's a pretty lonely experience. At least that was my experience. Yeah.
Yeah. I think like I'm not someone that likes to watch myself on TV anymore. Like where I hear my own voice and I'm like, ooh, I sound like that. Like that's how I see it. Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, I'm watching myself romantically or watching me do something good, something bad, this and that. And I just feel like I relive it. And I'm like, I'd rather not, you know, deal with the comments. I like to just watch it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I remember it. That's exactly how it went. Or, you know, and then move on to the next one. I'm not a big watch party guy. I watch with a bunch of people.
Ever. Yeah. No, it's difficult. I know. I mean, I can only imagine what it's like. I mean, dude, to date myself, and this is horrible, but when I was The Bachelor, there wasn't even social media, right? So I didn't have to deal with it. There were chat rooms, which seemed off-putting, and you know, a lot of gossip mags, but there wasn't like on the button, moment by moment dissection of everything I did, right? And you know, I'd watch the show and I'd be like, God, do I really? That's how I kiss? This is crazy. You know, do I always talk like this? Am I always hemming and hawing? I mean, I would dissect myself. No one could critique me more than me. I'm my own worst critic. And even though I know you're from the West Coast, you seem kind of like a Midwest guy to me in a weird way, which I mean that as a very big compliment, right? They don't say, they say Midwestern values, right? They don't say West Coast values. They say Midwestern values. So you're getting a compliment from me right now, and I hope you can take it as such. But I think it's got to be tough because you're watching yourself. You're like, how did I end up here? And right. And then the whole thing as it's unfolding, I mean, I'm sure you hear the noise, right? There's a lot of people saying things way better about you than you could ever deserve. And a lot of people saying just garbage about you that you also don't deserve. And it's hard, right? Because you hear the good stuff and that kind of goes in one ear and out the other. And the bad stuff will stick with you for months. So how have you been dealing with that? The social media stuff is just tragic. Like how do you, and I don't mean that specific to you. I mean that just in general. I get it all the time too. I don't even know how I deal with it, but how do you deal with it? Because it's got to be magnified for you.
Yeah, that's a good question because I think it's constantly evolving on how to like tackle that. Because like just over a year ago, you know, I was working, you know, my tech job in Austin, going about life. Nobody, you know, not someone that's even big onto social media or understands it, let alone like I don't even know how to properly like post photos half the time.
Right.
And now I'm in the world where like everyone's on social media. Everything you do is critiqued. Now my love life is being critiqued. and everyone has an opinion. And everyone, fair, like absolutely has an opinion. And like seeing the tough or hurtful comments initially were really like, oh my God, like how could someone like say that? They don't know me. This and it did bother me early on. And I don't know, it took just maybe time or you know, just through, you know, confidence or just like seeking advice from family and friends was like, okay, you know, you're never going to appease everyone.
Right.
Also everything in a sense with like short media and this is like with a lot of things in general are pretty short lived. And you know,
They're on to the next thing right away. Right. I mean,
constantly. Yeah. Constantly. If I get in my own head about it, then it's just like, I'm going to be, you know, bummed out, and I'm not a guy that's ever bummed out. Like I'm very positive, but then when I'm like, oh, these people are trying to hurt me, I'm like, they've probably got something else going on in their life to where they feel they need hurt. So that's how I rationalize and justify it. But
and you're a better man than me. I still grind myself over the coals for half the things that are said about me. But you know, interestingly enough, someone gave me a great piece of advice once, and they're like, consider the source, right? So like, you're living your life. And then you have these other people who are commenting on you living your life, right? So like, how often are you online commenting on someone else living their lives? Probably never, right?
Yeah.
So who are these people? And, you know, hey, thank you for, you know, paying attention, but let's be kind, right? We're still human beings. We still, you know, this is still us putting it out there. And clearly you're someone who's, you know, going through an emotional experience. I mean, what you've done is genuine. People are, I will tell you this, 20 years after I was The Bachelor, they're going to still ask you the question, is it real? You know, is it all scripted? And, you know, I always say, I'm like, well, the moments are scripted, but the emotions are real, you know, so you're still feeling that stuff. So I'm sorry you got to deal with it. I mean, I didn't have to deal with it. I don't have to do it at the magnitude that y'all do. I mean, on the show today, I mean, still, you know, 20 years later, I think I have like 110,000 followers or something. It's pretty paltry. But I probably have worked really hard for those 110. I think my mom's probably got like 75,000 ghost accounts. But the point is...
Hey, that beat me.
No, the point is, you know, it's like you go through this experience and it's tough, man. And you're never going to please everybody. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, what are you going to do? But... Okay, let's talk about your season now. So you come on as a bachelor. From what I understand, I may have missed a few finer points of this, but it sounds to me like on the opening night, one young lady walks up and licks your ear hole, basically. Uh-huh. Just gives like tongue jacks your ear box, is what I've been told.
Right out of the mouth.
Yeah.
Yep, right out of the mouth.
Any words exchanged? Any like, hey, how are you? Or she just walks up and it's... Boom shakalaka right in the eardrum. I think I would have married her. I'm totally kidding.
Well, rewatching it and then trying to remember that exact moment that I was, what I was feeling, and like first off, that takes, you know, cojones to do that.
could you imagine like, her poor dad? He's just like, oh, look at my gorgeous little girl. Here she comes.
And like, here she, it is. That's like, here's this beautiful moment. And just tongue dart in the
ear. His buddies at home are like, really, Jim? This is what we're doing? This is what little Debbie's doing tonight? Honestly.
My facial reaction, I think, gives it away of just like, I try to hide like it, like with a laugh. Like I put my head back. I like open my mouth. Like I'm laughing, thinking it's funny, but it's actually like disgust. And like, I'm like, why? Why? Yeah. Like, you can't.
You're like,
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure it piques your curiosity for a hot second, but I mean, I don't know you at all. But from what I can tell from our initial interview, you strike me as one of those guys. I mean, I can tell you when I was on the show, all I could think of was like, oh my God, I don't want to embarrass my family. Like, I don't want my mom and dad to have to go to the grocery store and be ashamed of me. Right. So like, the girl walks up, she's, you know, making out with your eardrum and you're like, oh yeah, this is first impression rose all the way. I mean, your parents would be so disappointed, right? So I get it. I mean, but you sent her home. You fast-tracked her to the limo, from what I gather.
No, that was not a fast track to the limo, no. I did not give her a rose that night. But there was another instance of a fast track to the limo. But someone else, not for ear licking.
Tell me about it. What was the fast track?
On night one, had the opportunity to speak with one of the women in the house, and we had a conversation, and went pretty well. And she decides to pull me again for another conversation. I think that there were some feelings of jealousy because she saw that I had kissed other women and she wasn't one of them, and so she wanted to pull me to get her kiss.
Right.
And she pulls me aside and we're doing like these like dances or something. And she pulls me in like for a hug. I'm going in for a hug and she goes in and pulls me in and making a kiss happen. And that did kind of rub me the wrong way. Like you can't force anything. Like you can't force it if it's not there. And, you know, had that, you know, tough decision of, and talking with her saying like, hey, we can't force that. Like what, like if it's not here, it's not here. And I don't want to waste your time.
In the moment you did, you sort of pulled back and like, this is not happening or.
Well, so for it happens. And I'm like processing, like, did that kiss just happen like that? Like, is that how it really went? And I remember talking to Jesse about it actually, funny enough. Cause he asked, he's like, dude, like what, you know, what was with that kiss? It didn't look like you really wanted to. And I was like, you know what? I respect, you know, her pulling me again because, you know, that takes guts and most people don't, you know, or some people only get, you know, one time and some don't get any time on night one. And he's like, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I think it's best to send her home. Like, I don't want, you know, to lie to her or hold her here if there isn't a connection. And there clearly wasn't that spark when we kissed. So that was, That was interesting. You never know what you're gonna you're gonna get on night one, like anything, like
oh
an earlick,
my gosh,
random kiss, doing yeah. the gritty, all that stuff.
The gritty is a good. That's a tough dance. I mean, if they perfect it, I believe they should get fast tracked to night two. That's just me, but I'm not a great dancer, and so I value things in others that I don't possess. You know,
right? I can't judge it. Like I grittied on TV and it looks absolutely terrible, right. So I can't judge.
Someone pulls it off in an evening gown. Moving on.
Yeah.
Next round.
Yeah.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you ever watch the show previous to being on it? Did you know the whole drill?
I'd probably watched about a handful of episodes before, but my mom and my two younger sisters are diehard fans of the show. So, yeah. You know, growing up, you know, I'd walk downstairs, see them watching the show. And of course, it would just have my attention drawn in to watch it. But, you know, not consecutively by any means. But, you know, I had a rough idea of what to expect. But you know, my sisters obviously were like, you know, giving me as many pointers as they could.
What were some of their pointers? Yeah, like anything, you know, anything that's sticking out right now that you listened to, or any that you didn't and you wish you would have? Because obviously they know how this thing goes.
So actually, funny enough, my sister, she told me right before, I don't remember if it was before Bachelorette or Bachelor, but she said, "Don't cry." And I'm an emotional guy. Like by nature, I'm someone that wears my heart on my sleeve.
Sure.
It's been encouraged in my house to like show your emotion, like good or bad. You know, not worth holding in. And she said, "Don't cry." And I was like, "Okay, like I won't."
Yeah.
And
that's quick to a sizzle reel if you cry, man. We all know that.
I know. And just as Jesse said, this is the most emotional season for The Bachelor so far. So I'll just leave it at that.
So you didn't listen to her. Buddy,
it's impossible.
I mean, I gotta be honest, for Ben Higgins it was also impossible. That dude cries more than anybody I've ever seen, but he is an emotional and lovely man, and I think that you'll probably have that same kind of staying power. I didn't cry, and you didn't know who the hell I was, so there you go.
Not once.
I've cried probably once in my life. No, I cry a ton. You kidding me? I am the most emotional disaster. Back then though, it didn't fit the mold. So you got to remember when I did the show, we didn't film stuff that didn't fit the mold of what we were trying to present. So I could have been bawling like a baby and they'd be like, "All right, just give him some time. Let's dry him off, get him back in there and make him look stoic." You know, so it was, it wasn't as emotionally raw. Reality television wasn't as real back then. Let's just put it that way. Didn't feel that way anyway. Yeah. It didn't feel that way. So one thing that I dealt with from being The Bachelor that I think is probably something that is universal, regardless of social media or not, I'll never forget it. First time I walk into my hometown supermarket, I'm with my mom. I was just telling this story earlier that, you know, my mom would go to the, still 20 years later, she'll go to the chicken section and people like, according to my mom anyway, "Aren't you Bachelor Bob's mom?" And my mom's like, "Oh, I am." It just, everyone drives me crazy bringing it up. Yet I can be in the same supermarket and no one speaks to me. So the hardest adjustment, though, was seeing your personal life all over the tabloids, right? Like all over Us Weekly, People Magazine, Star, National Enquirer, whatever it is. Social media, I'm sure. How has that been for you? Like, how has that adjustment been for you to all of a sudden go from being, you know, a guy that's working hard? You know, I mean, you know, you're an athlete, so the mindset of, you know, keep your head down, work hard, and good things will happen, right? We all have heard those from our coaches over the years. And now all of a sudden, you know, your entire personal life and every decision you make is being dissected by body relationship experts and, you know, all this kind of crap. I mean, how has that been for you as an individual, and how are you handling it?
Yeah, that's a good question. It is interesting, you know, with life now outside of the show, you know, similar to, you know, your story with you and your mom at the grocery store, like, you know, going to most places, you know, being recognized is a weird feeling, because I'm kind of a private person by nature. And I think it's really cool when people like come support or want to get a photo with me, but it's just still such a crazy concept that people want to do that in the first place, or people want to write an article about what clothes I wore on my last Instagram post, or like, it goes back to the opinions thing. It's like, okay, everyone's going to have an opinion. I get that. And it's up to me, like, if I want to read those comments or not. But like, for me, I welcome, you know, everyone with open arms, you know, when I meet people out and about, and, you know, whether it's at the gym or at the grocery store or this and that, and just, I don't know, just take the time to say hi or get to know them. Cause it is a cool opportunity. Cause I know, like, when I, you know, growing up would like run into someone that I had seen on TV and I would like love to meet them and get a picture with them. And, you know, it would be the biggest gut punch if they said no.
Oh,
and,
sure. Yeah. You always love it if there's someone who you hope that you think they are, right? Like,
oh yeah.
You meet Tom Hanks, you want him to be the greatest guy you've ever met in your life. Cause he seems like he is, you know, it'd be such a bummer if he wasn't, you know, but that's a lot of pressure on those guys too. I met Bill Murray in the airport today, and Bill Murray was amazing. I mean, he was so nice.
He did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And it was really cool. And I was thankful because, you know, he had no clue who the hell I was, nor should he, but I definitely knew who he was. And it was nice that he gave me about 30 seconds of his time, you know? And that's all it takes, that's right? So it's not cool. That hard to be kind to people. It's pretty easy, really. You're never that busy.
It's back to that. It's just being kind, you know? Yeah. I expect that, you know, not everyone has that out, you know, outlook on life, but as long as you keep that yourself, like, you'll be good. That's how I see it. Yeah.
So have you ever heard the term like greasing the wheel, like getting ready for something? Night of The Bachelor, you're getting ready to, you know, all the limos will pull up. What did you do to grease the wheel? What did you do to like get yourself ready? Anything specific?
There was a lot of pacing.
Yeah. Any beverage choices that maybe helped you get to the right place?
Quite a few. I had a few beverages.
Any that are you know, Mexican in origin, perhaps like tequila or anything like that?
Absolutely, maybe two or three if we're being honest. And then, you know, gotta have some, you know, artificial caffeine in there somewhere.
Oh, sure,
because it's a late night.
It is a late night,
and a lot of blasting of just like the most ridiculous music you can to just like get the nerves out some way, you know, and back to it's tequila.
It's always tequila, buddy. That's the only way
to go. It's a long roundabout answer of saying it's tequila.
Yeah, I like it. I like the way you got there though. You took a long road and I appreciate it. So, okay. One of the things that we had back in the day when I did the show was a deliberation room, right? So they had all the women that were there on that night of the cocktail party or whatever we call it, they had all of their photos on like a wall, like a viewing wall. And I would go in and I would deliberate and I would just look at these photos as if to ponder who I was going to give a rose to, because they were all right there on the cusp. And I remember looking at all these and I would take time. I'd look at each one. Some of them I'd grab the frame and I'd stare at it for a minute and I'd put it back. Do they still do that, or they skip that part of it? Because it was really interesting time for at the time Chris Harrison and I had to walk in there and just have me stare at a blank wall.
Yeah, something just like that. Because obviously on night one, like, there's no way you can remember everyone's names with a face, and like you have so many conversations and you're trying to, you know, calm your own nerves, and you need to go and just breathe in another room and just, you know, figure it out, for lack of a better term. And,
sure.
There would be several times throughout the night going to a room and looking at the little, you know, cards with the name, and, you know, sometimes it would just be the easiest, like you just follow your gut on that and you're like, yep.
Yeah. Something slam dunk. Even though absolutely. Yeah.
12 seconds with this person. Yep. I don't know what it is. I don't know why, but yes. And then there's some that, you know, you have to deliberate a little bit more on and figure out. But that was something new that I didn't know how, like, you do it, because I was fully prepared to come in and be like, all right, I'm remembering all the names, we're doing it. That's a little false, because there's no shot I would ever be able to actually
do it. Come on, Zach.
I was coming in with that.
I'm a competitive guy, so I gotta tell you, on my first night's rose ceremony, I had, I believe it was 28 or 30 ladies there. And I had found out that Alex Michel, out of the 15 women that he got to keep on the first night, he had remembered 12 names. So my goal was to remember all 15. So I created the song in my head and I got through it. I got through all 15. However, what a lot of people don't know, a little sidebar, is I was nervous, right? So I was holding the rose. Let me see if I can hold. I was holding the rose like this, right? So I have the rose. And I was like, Debbie, right? And then the next one, Jenny, or, you know, I'm just using random names, of course, to protect the innocent. And I remember the next one, I go to say the name and the rose, the top of the rose falls off. And no one knows what to do. And I think, oh my God, this is a real show. So I can't, it's reality television. I can't waver. So I hold and I'm like, Rhonda. And Rhonda comes up. I'm like, Rhonda, will you accept this stem? And she takes it. I think it's going to be great television. And they make me reshoot it. And I was so bummed. Point is, though, I got all 15. Do you remember how many of the ladies on the first night you remembered all their names?
I'll just say this. They didn't let me test that theory.
Okay.
It was more like,
if I'm not mistaken, let me try and reenact this and tell me if this is accurate. You'd get through like five names and you'd be like, I'm sorry, ladies. I need a moment. And you'd step outside and they'd be like, Debbie, Rhonda, Jenny, Brenda, Camille. Is that not how they did it?
No. Well, not as dramatic as that. It would be, you know, okay. I'll use your names. It would be like, okay, yeah, Rhonda, will you accept the strokes? Yes, okay. And then it would be a pause. And then I would like look to one of the directors, and I would just give a nod, and he'd nod back, and then I'd be like, and then just mysteriously walk off.
Oh, there was no explanation.
No.
Oh, wow, that's even worse.
Because the thing is when I was on The Bachelorette, they didn't do any explanation either. So we were like, why are the girls keep going back to the back room? Like, what's going on? Or like, are they panicking? Are they freaking out? And then I later learned that's what it was for.
They took away the drama factor. I brought some drama to that franchise back then. I'd be like, ladies, I just can't. But then I'd be like, but no, I can, because I got all 15 right here in my bean. I got through it. Oh my gosh. All right. So one last question. Impressive. No, thank you, buddy. It was the one thing I had going for me. I had musical memory. So, all right, let's ask you this. So now that you're engaged,
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. What was her name?
I think the internet is cutting out.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm getting some bad intel. So at the end of the day, we're so happy about the marriage coming up and we're excited to be invited to the nuptials. Now I'm excited for you, man. You seem like a very nice guy. And I think that at the end of the day, you got to remember, I have this idea of the way the show works, especially when I was on it. I used to say, you know, you could have a monkey up here handing out flowers and everyone's going to cry because it's a social science experiment. It's nothing to do with the guy. So I think about that all the time. I'm always like, you know, and people are like, oh no, that's humble pie, Bob. I'm like, no, it's really sincere. It has nothing to do with the guy. But I think in your case, it kind of does. Because you seem like that guy, man. You're a very nice guy. And I have a feeling that you probably have a lot of ladies vying for your attention. And you were raised right. And man, I'm just excited for you. I hope it all works out the way you want it to. And you find some happiness at the end of this thing. Because it's a tough road to hoe. People don't get it, right? They all think, oh, what a cry me a river. You know, he handed out flowers to 30 girls and made out with them. Big deal. But it is tough. You go through a lot to get there. So I hope you guys find happiness and I wish you the best. And thanks for being part of our show. I mean, it's OG to the new guy, man. This is a big transition. I was 20 years ago and it's still on the air. This is bananas.
Wow. Well, first off, thank you, Bob. I appreciate the kind words. And, you know, yeah, like what you're saying, it is wild and not a lot of people understand it. You know, fortunately, you do. You're someone that does. And it's crazy to know, you know, that there are people that do support, you know, through all the crazy social media and whatnot. But I appreciate being on this podcast, the OG and the new guy. That's pretty cool.
Hey, we just named it tonight, buddy. We're excited. Well, I wish you the best. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you got to remember, I mean, you know, just get through it with your confidence intact. Don't let anybody beat you up. I mean, I know it's not easy, right? You're an easy target, dude. I mean, you know, you're out there, you're a nice person. Putting your heart on the line, like you say, you wear your emotions on your sleeve. So you're going to get some grief for it. But at the end of the day, man, your happiness 20 years from now, take it from me. That's what matters the most. So it's going to be a great experience. You said yes to a fun moment. Live it up. Enjoy it. And thanks for being a part of the show, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it.
I'm rooting for you, man.
Thank you.
Tell your mom I said hi.
Oh, she knows you.
This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage.
With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage that you can count on. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable.
From sweat-resistant sport formula to kids SPF 50+. Now, I have to wear sunscreen every day. That is one of the things that has existed.
You have an esthetician wife.
I have an esthetician wife. It is her number one recommendation for people. If you do nothing else, wear sunscreen. So when I'm out and about, when I'm on the lake this year, when you're I'm playing golf, yeah, protection from Banana Boat 360 coverage will be absolutely essential. So shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.